Like
you gotta make a choice, you know. Can't stay stagnant your whole life. It's like,
wow, okay, that wasn't supposed to happen. Peace and blessings to everyone. Having technical difficulties before the show even starts. Inshallah, I want to welcome everyone to a special show that we're doing tonight on polygamy. You know, usually Speaking Volumes is a spoken word show, but tonight we're not going to do any poems. We're going to have open discussion. We want to be able to broadcast to everyone the beautiful side of polygamy and also educate some of our sisters and brothers on exactly what it is and what their rights are, what they're supposed to be doing. So, inshallah, we have three alimas on the line with us. The first alima is Zainab Abdul Qaddus, which is actually my cousin. We also have Sister Khalida Bilal, and we have Sister Sakina Abdul Shakur with us. Assalamu alaikum, sisters.
Wa alaikum salam.
So, Sakina, Sister Khalida, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Sakina, Sister Khalida, please press 1 so I can bring you on the air. I don't know. I don't hear them. Well, we have, Sister Zainab is with us right now. So, Zainab, if you could just talk a little bit about yourself and state your view on polygyny, please.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Zainab. I studied at the Darulum in Trinidad for 5 years. Alhamdulillah, I was, you know, in 2009, I was qualified as an anima. And I have a lot to say about polygamy, but, you know, for me, the issue really is not polygamy. You know, I'm not here to discuss the pros and the cons of polygamy because, well, polygyny in a nutshell is something that is permissible. And the issue is people, you know, and our perception and our views regarding polygamy. Whenever the topic of polygamy comes up, especially amongst females, we turn our faces and discuss like it is something bad. You hear a lot of statements like, oh, I don't agree with that, or I can't accept that, or that's not permissible in my book. You know, we have a hard time accepting such a law when Allah Ta'ala has made it permissible. We all know of the ayah in Surah Nisa, where Allah Ta'ala states, then marry the women of your choice, 2, 3, or 4. But if you fear you cannot deal justly, then only one or the slaves your right hand possesses, and that is nearer to prevent you from doing injustice. So clearly here we see Allah has given the allowance of marrying more than one. You know, He has given the allowance of polygamy. Yes, under conditions, and brothers, they need to take heed of those conditions. But for the most part, it is something that is allowed. So even with Allah allowing it, we still look at it as being something that is detested and wrong. And this, you know, for me, this is very disheartening, especially when Muslims display such hatred towards it. A lot of times we have this negative concept of polygamy. If, you know, a sister's husband goes and gets another wife, the woman thinks that there's something wrong with her. Or if it is done, it is always thought to be done in a sneaky and conniving manner. We create these stereotypes of polygamy that it can never be something good. And because of these stereotypes, we develop a dislike and we find a fault in polygamy as a whole. And what, you know, we fail to realize is that Allah has allowed it, and He has allowed it based on His great wisdom and understanding. And if we just, you know, put aside that negativity, if we put aside our personal feelings and just try to view it in a positive light and just be a bit more open-minded regarding polygamy, then we will be able to see, of course, the beauty in it, and in some cases, the importance in it and the necessity of polygamy. And when we do that, then, you know, inshallah, accepting it will be much easier for us. We know that polygyny, it fulfills the natural desire of men. You know, it fights against corruption. Allah has placed in the hearts of men the desire for women. You know, they have the ability to love more than one woman at a time. So instead of one's husband going out and maybe committing adultery, you know, wouldn't a female rather their husband marry another wife, you know, 2, 3, or 4? And also, we know that one of the signs of the last day is that women will outnumber men. You know, for every one man, it is said, I believe right now it is 10 women. So that is a lot of single women who want to be married, but, you know, there's nobody to marry. You know, a lot of single women who won't be able to find that companion. You know, there'll be a lot of single women who won't be able to fulfill half their faith, right? And how else can this problem be solved?
Let me just interrupt you for 1 second. Mm-hmm. Sister Calda and Sister Sakina, if you guys are on, please press 1 so I can bring you on the air, inshallah, because we couldn't hear you before. So, inshallah, if you guys are on, please press 1 so I can bring you on the air. Okay, then I'll continue on.
So I was saying that, you know, because of the women will outnumber men, how is such a problem like that to be solved? It can either be the man, you know, if he sticks to only marrying one woman, then that's leaving the other woman without marriage. And we know that, you know, single women in this society, that can be disastrous. Or he can marry and have the other as a mistress. And we know that that is something that is totally forbidden in Islam. Or just, you know, he can just marry more than one wife. In my opinion, my view of polygamy, I view it as something that is beautiful. I believe polygamy is a beautiful thing, and it can be a beautiful thing, of course, when everyone plays their roles properly. But, it is we as individuals that tend to distort it. And polygamy, it is something that is a reality, you know, whether we like it or not and whether we can deal with it or not. However, until we as Muslims adopt that attitude of truly loving for others what we love for ourselves, you know, until we sisters stop viewing their husbands as their possession when they are only alone from Allah Ta'ala, and until we focus more on our relationship with Allah, and when in a polygamous situation, when we accept it as being the decree, the will of Allah, then dealing with it will be easy. And when it is dealt with ease, one becomes content. And we know that with contentment, a person remains pleased with the occurrences irrespective of one's feelings towards it. Now, I hope I don't sound harsh, right? And if I'm talking loud, because Marisa told me that I have a low voice, so I'm not yelling at anybody. And I'm not saying that, you know, sisters, you need to get over it and you need to accept it. You don't own your husbands without taking feelings into consideration. Because I understand that, you know, it can be very difficult for women to cope with polygyny. And yes, there will be jealousy. You know, that is something that is inevitable. That is in our nature. That is one of the beauties of being a woman. You know, we have that protectiveness. And even the prophet's wives, they experienced this. However, for me, you know, the big issue is when we negate it and we view it as the problem, you know, because guess who has given that allowance? Guess who has made that law permissible? Allah Ta'ala. So when we view it as being a law that is insignificant and we don't accept it, you know, we fight it and we talk bad about it, then what are we saying about our Creator? Are we saying that He is imperfect? Are we saying that He made a mistake? Are we finding defects in His laws? So on the basis of that, you know, just to avoid sin upon ourselves, we should embrace it. You know, despite what maybe some examples that we see, despite maybe how one's husband might go about it, but just seeing it as something that can be very beneficial, to society. Again, of course, when done the correct way, when done and practiced the way the Rasul Sallallahu did it, and we know that his example is the best. You know, he had more than 4 wives, and he was the best in dealing with them. He was the best in polygamy and the best in monogamy. So even, you know, for the brothers, you have this privilege, but it is very important that you don't abuse it. So there can be no reason and no room for such stereotypes. You know, the hadith that the Rasul Sallallahu said, whoever has 2 wives and he is not just between them, then on the day of judgment, he will appear with his side falling. And nobody wants to stand before their Lord in such a state. And so too with our sisters, you know, we don't want to deny something of Allah. We don't want to deny a law of Allah. And because of that, because of what, you know, we denying it, we be taking account for it on the day of judgment. So, you know, that's, you know, I have a lot to say about polygamy, but, you know, it is a very, very big topic. And what is important is just, you know, for everyone, men and women, that we should just fear Allah in all our doings. And, of course, we live for the akhirah and not our nafs. And
yes,
that's my...
And it is a very huge topic, and inshallah, I do plan on doing maybe a two-part show. Actually, the second show, like I was discussing with you, I want to have a show where, you know, the brothers come on and, you know, they kind of talk to the brothers about, you know, what their responsibilities are. But as of today, we want to address our sisters because, you know, we're women, and this is where we usually hear, you know, maybe the negative comments towards it. And, you know, so we want to kind of educate each other and answer any questions that people may have about polygyny, if they're getting ready to get into that situation, what they should be doing, what they should expect. And this is why we have the alimas online, inshallah, so that they can give you some valid nasiha from Quran and Sunnah, inshallah. So I'm going to see if we can bring Sister Khalda back up. I think we lost the other sisters there. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Khalda.
Assalamualaikum.
Sister Khalda, please press 1 if you're on. Okay, well, right now I can't bring her on because I don't think that for some reason it's not going through. But we do have another caller calling from 781, and I'm going to go ahead and bring them on here, inshallah. Caller 781, don't want to be. Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Is this Sister Khalda?
No, this is Sister Sakina.
Assalamualaikum, Sister Sakina. Okay. All right, well, we have the second alama on the line, Sister Sakina, inshallah. So Zainab, she actually just did her introduction, and she spoke on her point of view on polygyny. So inshallah, sis, I want to give you a chance to do that also.
Is there a time limit or like a time?
No, you can. you have it. We have inshallah, we have about 45 minutes left. So we do want a lot of time for people to call in and comment and question. But, you know, you can go ahead.
Okay, well, polygamy, I'm going to say in the beginning, I was very not really into it. I guess you could say that. But then after studying and really learn it about how it's supposed to be, then you realize that it's not actually a bad thing. The way people go about it nowadays might make you feel like it's not really good. But if you go about it the way that it should be done and the way that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, and if you want to say you're following the Sunnah, then you really follow the Sunnah truly, then it can be a really good thing. But let me see.
Inshallah, Sister Khalda, if you've already called, then please press 1 so that I can bring you on the air right now. All the other callers, inshallah, I'm going to get to your comments in 1 second. I just want to get the alimas on so that they can, you know, state their credentials and give you their view, and then we can do the question and answer session. Excuse me. So, Sister Khalda, inshallah, press 1 if you're on with us. Go ahead, Sister Sakina. You can continue.
Okay, well, polygamy, when you study it and you learn how it's done and you do it proper, then inshallah, there's a lot of goodness in it, you know? And I think the main reason that sisters really are against it is society's one, and then also the way brothers sometimes go about doing it. If it was the sisters felt more not like the husband going behind them and doing it, you know, and if the brothers, they like to say that they're doing it for the Sunnah, and if they really followed the Sunnah and did it proper and everything, then I think a lot of the sisters would change the way they felt about it too. And it's not like they portray it on TV, you know, when you hear about Islam. A lot of times the first thing you think is, well, he can have more than one wife. And then another thing is, well, why can't she have more than one husband? That's another big thing that always pops up. He can have more than one wife. She can't have more than one husband. Islam is oppressive, and they see that polygamy as an oppressive thing. It's not oppressive, and in reality, it's actually helping out the sisters. It's just as Alima Zainab has said, there are a lot of more women than men, and right now there are women who would like to be married, but there's a shortage of men or a shortage of good men, so they aren't married, so they're just sitting there waiting for someone to pop up. And if people were more open to polygamy, then maybe, you know, they'd be more happy, a lot more fulfilled sisters and brothers out there, you know?
Right, right. Okay, I'm going to see if this, I think this might be just a call, but I'm not sure, but I'm going to check and see. Caller 215, you're on there.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Nasuni.
Oh, assalamu alaikum, Nasuni. I'll Sister Kalda.
No, no, you want me to fall back? Is she online?
No, no, I'm trying. I don't know. We're waiting for her to get on the line, inshallah, so she can speak. But you have a question or a comment?
No, no, I don't have a question. I have a comment. Being a sister who has been in, it's actually polygyny, not polygamy, but been in polygyny twice in my first marriage. My husband had took on two wives the first time, and in my marriage that I'm in now, I've had a co-wife. And it's really sad because polygyny is a beautiful thing if it's done right and, it's you know, they follow the sunnah, but a lot of times the brothers can make a big difference in the relationship between both sisters. And sometimes, like in my case, I was blessed with two, at the time, you know, my two different husbands when I was married before and now. We sat down and talked about it. I didn't have a problem with it. I still don't have a problem with it. But it was just sad that the experiences I had started out beautiful. But it's a shame how you have some sisters that come into the marriage already having an agenda to get rid of the other wife so they can become the first wife, and it's sad. That it is really sad because if you have a sister that is willing to open up and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah and for the kindness of her heart, just being a good sister and wanting to really be a family, and the other person has other gender, it makes it hard. And fitnik is caused in the relationship of the whole entire family. And it just bothers me when I see, I mean, I've seen it with other sisters, I experienced it, and it's sad. It's really sad because polygyny is really a beautiful thing. And even though one of my co-wives I really had a good relationship with, and I'm still good friends with her today from my first marriage. You know, and it's just sad how we think we own our husbands, how, you know, most women think, oh, no, you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to take on another wife. You do, I'm gone. You don't own him, just like he doesn't own you. We're here on this earth for a short period of time. You know, you can do wonders, especially if your older sister helping a younger sister, if she has children, y'all can help with each other's children. But a lot of women, they don't see past that. They see, they're looking towards, oh, you're having sex with my husband. You know, you got to look past all of that. You know, and like the sister says, if your mind and heart is focused on the law and doing what you have to do as a Muslim woman, then you won't be worrying about that. But, you know, living in this dunya, living in this society, a lot of women get caught up. And it's not just the young women. You got some older women, too, that people think, oh, she's older, she knows better. It has nothing to do with that. You have older women who trip. You know what I'm saying? You have younger women who trip. And, you know, and I just find it sad being, like I said, someone who has been in a polygamy relationship as the first wife and had a second wife come in, I didn't have a problem with that. What I have a problem is with when that woman tries to cause fitna in the household. And that's sad. That's really sad because we're sisters and we're supposed to love each other and be here for each other and help each other, you know, no matter what. But when we have hatred or dislike for another Muslima, you know, it's like, where do you think you're going with that? You talk about you want to go to paradise, you know, you want to do this, you want to do that, in reference to being closer to your Lord, but what are you doing? Your actions is causing you to lose focus on what you're supposed to be focused on. And it's a shame because I've seen sisters fight another sister because she was interested in her husband. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
SubhanAllah, and that's something that we definitely want to touch on also. Shukran, that's Sunni for your comment. I love you.
I love you too, my sister.
I love you so much. Inshallah. I'll talk to you soon. We're going to take another caller, but I'm going to let
inshallah.
You sisters respond to what you just said, inshallah, all right?
All right, barakallahu feekum wa alaikum salam.
Okay, and yeah, that's something that we definitely want to touch on because, you know, that is a huge issue, and I'm sure that, you know, you sisters can agree that's a huge, I'm sorry, hold on, my children screaming. Oh, Lord, this is so ghetto right now. Okay. Yeah, that's a huge issue. So if you sisters want to speak on that real quick, actually the, you know, what a sister may be bringing upon herself, if she's doing something like that, if she's intentionally trying to get another sister out the door, or if she's intentionally trying to, you know, disrupt her husband for getting another wife, what is the repercussions of that?
You have to deal with her Lord, you know, with that. You know, she's gonna there are gonna be repercussions to that. But you know, it's very also important as far as with, you know, the men. Yeah, you're gonna have these. The women who are going to do this. But I believe that they do that only if they're allowed to do that. And the man really, really has to, is the husband who really has to put his foot down. You know, men have to, when taking on these second wives, they have to look and see what possible harms can arise out of taking on another wife, right? And it is because of that, it's important to give, you know, serious thought and consideration as to who you're going to marry, who you're going to bring into your family, because depending on who you bring into your family, it could be very, very detrimental, right? And because, you know, with that, that can be really simple.
So, Sakina, you have any thoughts on that comment?
Well, we all know, or we should know, that divorce is like, even though it's allowed in Islam, it's one of the most hated things by Allah. So if you're coming into a marriage with the hopes or with the intention to destroy another marriage, then that in itself is a hated sight in Allah. So you can only imagine what that could cause upon yourself, you know, trying to do that.
Okay, we're going to take another caller. Caller 609, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I want to say about the polygamy thing, like, I'm single, right, and I do want to get married, but if, when I get married, like, I don't want to marry somebody else that's already married, and I mean, I accept the polygamy, but I wouldn't agree with it, because, like, Allah says in the Quran, like, you have to deal justly with them, and if you can't deal justly with one, two, or three, or four, you could just have one. Who would, like, a brother won't admit it, but in deep inside, there's no way that he could feel the same for each of them. That's like a mother when she has more than one child. Not saying she doesn't love them all the same, but you're going to feel for one more than you feel for the other. Not saying you're going to treat them any differently, but I can't get myself, like, if I had to do, like, the polygamy thing, I would stay single for the rest of my life. And I'm not selfish with love at all. But I just can't see it being, like, he's treat the brothers feeling the same
well, that,
for everybody.
That justice that Allah speaks about.
Wait, hold on, Zay. She probably comes from, we're going to let them, go ahead, respond to her so she can, you know, you can talk.
No, I was saying that justice is, you know, when Allah Ta'ala says in the ayah that you have to deal justly, that justice is referring to her maintenance, you know, just taking care of her. And we know that nobody can ever have the same feelings for you'll never have the same feeling for all your wife. And it is stated in Surah Nisa, Ayat 129, you will never be able to do perfect justice between wives, even if it is your ardent desire. So do not incline too much, that is, to one of them by giving her more of your time and provision, so as to leave the other hanging, that is, divorced nor married. And if you do justice and do all that is right and fear Allah by keeping away from all that is wrong, then Allah is ever all forgiving, most merciful. So like that justice that from Surah Nisa Ayah 3, again, that is referring to her maintenance, taking care of her time. But this justice is referring to you know, your feelings towards one another. You can't help, a man cannot help. How he might love one wife more than the other. However, he's not to show that. You know, he can't show that, and he can't let that interfere with how he maintains his wife and how he deals with his wife and treats her. But as far as his feelings, yes, he can. He can,
okay.
His feelings, you know, he can have different feelings for.
Okay, and I would like to comment on that. In that instance, right, he might not show the difference publicly, but amongst, like, when they're alone, when he's with her, he's, you know, giving more of himself to when he's with the other one. It's like, I'm with you, I love you, yeah, true indeed, but who knows, he could be thinking about her, like, you know, which Allah, you know, will, you know, fix his heart or whatever how it may be. And Allah also, you know, he has a baby by one and the other one wants a baby, but he don't give that other one a baby and he has a baby by that one. How can you, you know, justify something like that? I know that goes back to Allah, but still, that's a man, that's a brother right there that should be loving everyone.
But
you know,
I mean,
justly.
I don't know, like
Zainab, hold on. And so Shukran, thanks for your comment. She's going to answer you. But Shukran for your comment, Shukran for calling, and she's going to answer you, though, okay? Keep listening. All right, go ahead, Zainab.
I didn't really understand. I was like, if
you were saying
I
that,
mean, like,
you were
I
saying,
think the sisters, when you get too caught up into, oh, you know, my husband, like, how would you know if that's not something that he's displaying publicly? She said, what if he's displaying it behind, you know, closed doors? If he's displaying it with one wife and not the other, then how would one wife know what it is, you know, that he might feel for this wife? I really wasn't understanding her. Sakina,
right,
maybe if you understood her better.
I guess he was saying that he was still feeling in his heart. But the Prophet Muhammad, you know, Aisha was one of his favorite. He had a couple of favorites, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a great love for Aisha, but he still treated all of them with love and, you know, care. He took care of all of them. It wasn't something that, you know, he made noticeable. He made them feel like, oh, you know, Aisha is the most loved. No, it wasn't a situation like that. So I really wasn't understanding what she was saying.
Well, inshallah, well, let me just add this. And this is something that I actually said to another sister when we had this conversation. What I would suggest or what I would advise, and again, I have the alamas on for a reason because I want them to come from Quran and Sunnah. But as a woman, what I would advise is that you get in touch with your Lord, because at the end of the day, mm-hmm. he's only a vessel. He is not Allah. I mean, you can love him and you can cherish him and spend time with him and everything else, but at the end of the day, you have to answer to your Lord. So as far as, you know, him having another wife or anything like that, like it shouldn't really, well, for me, I'm going to speak for myself. For myself, it wouldn't be that much of a big deal. I'm sure as women, naturally, we're jealous. You know, we're going to get emotional about it. That's what we're going to do. We're women. But at the same time, if you're looking at the bigger picture and knowing that at the end of the day, you have to answer to Allah for whatever you did, just like he has to answer to Allah for whatever he's done, then it should be a pretty clear picture for you. So inshallah, mm-hmm. I pray that we all are able to, you know, reach a level in Iman where we can definitely, you know, start to understand and Allah give us guidance, and if we're ever tested with it, that, you know, we pass the test.
Yes.
All right, inshallah, we're going to take another caller.
Is the caller still in calling?
I don't know. I have a number up here, 781-848. You're on the air.
Yeah,
let's
Okay, so, assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah. I apologize. I actually thought it was tomorrow night and not tonight. I was listening to the sister talking about how, you know, supposing he loves me more than he loves her and all these kind of things. You know, one of the first things that we have to think about is how are we as human beings when we interact with people, right? You may have five friends, but each of those friends that you have, you don't have the same relationship with each of your friends because they have different personalities and so therefore they bring out different things in you, right? So in the same way, when you're in polygamy or polygyny, he can never have the same relationship with another woman because she's different to you. She brings something different to the table. Therefore, necessarily, his interaction with her has to be different. Hello?
We're listening.
Okay, sorry. All right? So that's the very first thing. And, you know, when you're in polygamy, you can't get caught up in, oh, you know, he likes her better than me or he doesn't like her better than me because, you know, women do that. Either they have to feel comfortable by feeling like I'm the one that he loves the most or they feel insecure by feeling he loves her more than he loves me. Neither of those two feelings are beneficial for you as a woman in polygyny. Because you need to just know that, okay, whatever I bring to the table is what I bring to the table, and my relationship with him is my relationship with him, and his relationship with her is his relationship with her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that we are not supposed to go out of our way to get information that when we get that information, it's going to cause us pain. It's going to be a discomfort to us. So therefore, whatever relationship he's having with her is none of your business. Really? It's of no consequence to you, or it shouldn't be of any consequence to you whether or not he likes her more than you or whether he likes you more than her. You know, that doesn't benefit you in your relationship in any way, shape, or form.
Yes. All right, inshallah, I just want to remind everybody the number to call in is 818-369-0355. And also, if you want to listen online, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/she-soul. And you can also leave your questions and comments in the chat room. There's a couple of people in there right now. Inshallah, I want to see if we can get another call on the line. Anyone that is interested in commenting or if you have a question, please press 1 so that we can see you. Otherwise, we're going to let Sister Khalida go ahead and speak because she got on after everyone else.
So,
Sister Khalida, you got the floor.
You know, the other thing that, you know, as Muslims, it is our aqidah is based upon La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And the La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah has many facets to it. And one of the things that says you believe in Allah and His Messenger is your acceptance of the Holy Quran and all that is in it. It is, we have Imani Mujmal, which is one of the kalimas, and you say amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami'a ahkamihi. I believe in Allah as He is, with all of His names and with all of His attributes, and I accept all of His commands. Right? Now, okay, before anybody jumps down my throat, polygyny is not a command. However, it is something that is made permissible by the Holy Quran. And so therefore, you know, and women come up with a million and one different reasons for why it's not applicable to today's world and why we, you know, we shouldn't do it and, you know, he's got to have enough money and a million and one different reasons. Just like the companions, when they were called to go to jihad, they said, oh, my trees are in the fields and I have to be there to reap them. My wife is sick, you know, as we say in Jamaica, the horse died, horse dead and cow fat, the horse is dead and the cow is fat. You know, all of these reasons are of no consequence, right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains polygamy for you, then you'll be in polygamy. And if he doesn't ordain it for you, then you won't. Khalas. Because, and that is the essence of where we're supposed to be as sisters. We're just supposed to know that whatever Allah wills for us is what he wills for us. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, the hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, part of it is that he said, know that if an entire nation gathered together to do you benefit, they cannot do you any benefit except that which is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if an entire nation gathered together to do you any harm, they cannot do you any harm except that which was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the pens have been raised and the ink is dry. Therefore, if polygamy finds itself at your doorstep, this is your test. This is your test. The question is now, how are you going to deal with that? Are you going to apostate? Are you going to rip off your hijab? Are you going to go crazy? Are you going to deny the Qadr of Allah? Or are you going to bear it with patience? Because necessarily you need patience to be in polygamy.
Okay, Sister Kaza, we're going to take another caller.
Mm-hmm.
Caller 516 on the air. Hello, caller. Caller 516, you have to turn down your whatever. Okay, we lost caller 516. All right, we have another caller. Caller 610, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I guess, as far as polygyny, I think when you become Muslim, I think, you know, it's something, you know, it's a possibility you can end up in that type of marriage. So I think when you go to seek, when you seek marriage, if you sit down with someone, let them know your raw feelings on polygyny. Don't let, you know, don't hold it in. If you have any issues, you know, work on it then, because then what happens is, like I got into polygyny. When I got into it, I felt like my husband him and his wife didn't really touch base on the issue good enough. So when I got in it, he kind of didn't know, like he wasn't prepared for it, you know? And I don't know, like I just think, and people have, like, when you get into polygyny, like, what is your expectations for the marriage? Like, I think when you're coming into it, you should have expectations. Like, all right, you should already consider certain things might not be the same. You might not be able to do things you might can do in a marriage that's not dealing with polygyny. So you have to be ready to, like, face those things. You know, like, you might not be able to do, like, a family trip right away or, you know, certain things like that. So I think just advice, if you get into polygyny, like have your expectations laid out for you. So, you know, once you're in it, you're not like, oh, you know, I thought it was going to be like an episode of Dick Love, like we are, or it's going to be like one huge happy family, you know? Because a lot of times the brothers, they keep the household separate due to like certain reasons. And, you know, just make sure everybody's like on the same page. That's all. I can't think of
whatever else. Thank you for
your
comment,
Sister
Aisha. We know who you are.
Oh, which one is me?
Yeah, it's all right. I'm going to take another caller, sweetheart, all right?
Alhamdulillah. All right, wa alaikum salam.
All right, we're going to take another caller, inshallah. Caller 215, you're on the air.
Walaikum salam. I'm sorry, Sister Nasumi again. I just wanted to make a comment, if that's okay, and then I'm going to fall back.
Yes, go ahead,
I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, I'm really getting into this conversation, hearing the sister speak about polygyny. I just want to give advice to sisters, whether it doesn't matter if this is your first marriage, your second marriage, or whatever. Do not go into a marriage hoping that your husband would never take on another wife. Even if he says to you, I'm not interested, always remember Allah is the one who holds the key. He can change that brother's mind at any time. It could be a year later, 5 years down the road. But don't ask him not to ever take on another wife, and don't expect him to never, ever take on another wife while he's married to you, because Allah, Ta'ala, can change his mind. And just keep that in mind, and even though you feel you may not be able to deal with it, inshallah, Allah will find a way, as long as it's in your heart and that you want to please Allah and please your husband and you looking for Jannah. That was it. I'm going to fall back. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum.
As-salamu
alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
as-salam.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course.
I think that one of the things that people, you know, don't expect, you can never understand what it is to be in polygyny unless you've actually experienced it. And definitely when you are married to somebody and you've been having a relationship with a person for a period of time and then he takes on another wife, you have definitely, as the person that was there in the beginning, you have definitely lost something, right? Your husband was there 7 days a week. Now he's only going to be there 3-4 times a week. You know, and so therefore, there is an emotional process that you must go through. In the same way that if your mother, your best friend, if somebody dies, if you lose a pet, whatever it is, if you lose something that is dear to you, then you have a period of mourning. And the process of mourning is that first you are angry. First you're angry. There's a period of denial. And then eventually you reach to the point of acceptance. And it's the same thing in polygyny. You know, you have to go through a period, I call it madness. You know, it's like you're Majnoon. Because you're going to do and say things that somewhere down the line, when you come to your senses, you're going to look back and say, wow, did I really do that? Did I really say that? But in all of that emotional turmoil that you're going through, you have to turn to your Lord and you have to fear your Lord at all times. And a lot of times what happens is that emotion is so strong that sisters just feel like, I'm never going to get over this feeling. I can never move past this feeling, so therefore polygyny is not for me. When really they haven't given it the time, because it doesn't happen. You don't go through it and, you know, 6 months later you're fine. It takes years. When my husband married my co-wife initially, and I was telling him for 2 years before he married her, you need another wife, you need another wife, you need another wife. But at the same time, between her emotional adjustment and my emotional adjustment, it took 2, maybe 3 years before we actually were in the same book, you know. And then I would say it took maybe a little bit longer for us to be on the same page, you know. And during that process, a lot of it was, you know, patience. And turning to my Lord, because that's really the thing that can nurse the pain, But I don't think that anybody should pretend and say, oh, it's okay, you're going to, you know, you're not going to feel any pain. Of course you're going to feel pain. The first night that your husband is with that other woman is the most, is will be the longest night of your life. A night that is so long you won't even think it's ever going to end. But it ends. And the pain goes away. And then you get to the point where you're just like, uh-uh, I don't even want monogamy again. I like polygyny. But you have to give it time to get to that point. And a lot of people don't give it that time.
Okay. All right, we got 14 minutes left in the show, guys. I'm going to ask everyone that's not actually trying to ask a question right now to actually press 1 so they can be taken out of the queue, because I see a lot of people are in the queue that you already spoke to. And I'm going to take another caller. Caller 856, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say that this show has been, like, eye-opening. I never really watched the show, listened to the show, but the first time you listen to it, it's been beautiful, mashallah. But I did want to ask a question. I saw on somebody's Facebook page that you can live, you like the co-wives can live in the same house. Is that true?
If they, I mean, it's up to them. If they feel comfortable with that, then it's permissible. But the husband can't make them live in the same house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all I wanted to ask. Anyway, mashallah, good job, you guys. How do I get out the queue? Do I, like, click on it?
Just press 1 when I take you off, inshallah. Shukran for calling. Okay. I have a question that I wanted to ask. This is probably somebody else's question. I had a conversation with someone, and they said to me, I'm trying to remember exactly what was said. She was asking me if it slipped my mind that quick. All right, we have another call, I think. Everyone that we've already spoken to, please press 1 so we can get you out of the queue. Inshallah, we want to take some more callers. If you have any questions, we have about 12 minutes left in the show. But if you have any more questions for the sisters, again, let me repeat that these sisters are alimas, which means they have studied, and, you know, they can come from Quran and Sunnah with the nasiha or the advice that they're giving you. So please take advantage of this time. You have these sisters on the line. If you have any questions for them whatsoever, please ask them. Zainab and Sister Sakina, do you guys have any thoughts that you want to share while I try to remember what I was going to ask you guys?
No. I did, you know, I was always one of my really, really good friends. She was in polygamy, and she told me, like, you know, a way of dealing with polygamy. She said she would always, you know, advise any single sister or a sister who maybe the husband's not in polygamy to just, even maybe before you get married, to just, like, mentally prepare yourself for polygamy and always think to yourself, like, you know, yes, I, you know, this is my husband, but he can be somebody else's husband. When you do that, that really helps in as far as coping with it and dealing with it. But like Sister Hall said, yeah, it's not, nobody's ever going to, like, deal with it right away. It is going to take time, but to have that mindset, really, it can be helpful.
Okay, I remember what I was going to ask now. What I was going to say is I had a conversation with a sister, and I've actually heard this from a lot of sisters. They talk about, you know, the way that that polygamy is done, the way that, like, they talk about sisters, you know, trying to go after their husbands or something like that, or, you know, it's the way they go about it. They're sneaky in the way they go about it. So I asked the question, well, what is the correct way to go about you know, getting involved? Let's say you have a friend and you're interested in her husband. What is the correct way in going about, you know, finding out if you can marry that brother or whatever? You know, for those that don't know and those that have that ideology in their head that, you know, going about it a certain way is wrong or is sneaky.
You know that, you know, someone asked me the other day,
If a brother marries another woman, does he have to tell his wife? Is he allowed to be secretly married?
Nothing.
You know, and there are, you know, there are scholars who say yes, he can be secretly married as long as, you know, if because the woman, you know, if the first wife is going to go crazy or the first wife is going to, you know, she's not going to take it well, then, you know, he can do that. So when you say what is the correct way, I mean, the correct way is always about, you know, how does a person get married? What is the correct way to get married in the first place, you know? I mean, it's subjective to who's involved. I definitely would say to anybody, you know, that first of all, as women, you have to foster that environment that will make your husband feel comfortable telling you that he wants another wife in the first place. Because if you're always telling him, if you take another wife, I'm going to take the kids and I'm going to leave. Or one wife, she told me that she told her husband, if you take another wife, I'm going to empty my gun in you. You know, I mean, if you tell your husband these things, then you don't give him the choice psychologically or emotionally to feel like he can come to you with it, you know? So
I think that's asking what is the correct ab, then. Would it be, the process would be the same as if, you know, you're getting married to someone who isn't married. They would have to go to their wali and have their wali contact.
Yes, it's exactly the same.
It would be directly the same, but what type of advice would you give to a sister that, okay, let's say she has a friend, this girl has been her friend for years, and all of a sudden she's interested in her husband. And because she went and had her wali talk to, you know, her friend's husband, her friend now feels that she's being sneaky. What, you know, what advice would you give to that sister?
I would say that, I definitely would say to a woman on a personal level, my opinion, no crime, no sinner, just my opinion, that if you want to be in a polygamous relationship and you want it to work, then you cannot start off that relationship by being sneaky, because the pre-existing woman is never going to forget the fact that you snuck around with her husband and you lied, all right? So if you want her to respect you, indeed, if you want him to respect you, then you should behave in a manner that commands respect, right? Therefore, I've always said this to sisters, when a brother steps to you, right, and he's got a wife, then you need to, first question you need to ask him is, does your wife know you're talking to me? You know, or if you're going to step to a brother then and he's going to talk back to you, then you still want to ask the same question, does your wife know you're talking to me? And a lot of times, you know, my personal opinion, you want to talk to that wife because that's the woman that you're marrying her husband. She knows that man better than anybody else walking out there, you know. Maybe he might look good, you know, but that don't necessarily, he might look like he's really pious and he's really wonderful, but, you know, you don't know. That man could be an undercover alcoholic, undercover junkie, you know. So why wouldn't you want to speak to her?
All right, we're going to take our last caller because we got about 6 minutes remaining in the show. Caller 770, you're on the air. Caller 770, you're on the air.
Come on, Akela, don't be shy.
Exactly, Akela, we know it's you.
Sorry,
Why?
I killed her chickened out. She couldn't hear. She won't answer the question. So she puts me on online. And, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Can you hear me? Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was saying that this is not Akila. This is Sajid. That she chickened out. She doesn't want to be controversial. So she fell back and put me on. So you guys only have, like, 6 more minutes, so she's probably going to stir up a little more than 6 minutes. So But, you know, I just wanted to actually thank all the islanders. I think that, you know, alhamdulillah, you guys did a good job. And I think it's important that, you know, this topic becomes something that is talked about in a good light, because it is, you know, a lot of negativity behind it, because of, you know, I think people's experiences, not because of what Allah has set up, because we know that Allah is perfect. And inshallah, just, you know, keep up the good work, Maurice. Alhamdulillah, the show is a good show and very educational. And may Allah, you know, help us all to really accept this perfect institution that He has set up. And, you know, inshallah. And may Allah grant us all afia. And that's it. Jazakallah again.
So yeah, Akila Taiko, she's a punk. I'm calling her out on the radio. She's a punk. Inshallah, she's gonna call into the next show.
Can I say something quickly?
Yeah.
The other day, you know, in the if we look at the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab Aisha and Aisha radiallahu anhumma, they both, they were rivals, you know. They were both beautiful women, and they were both young. And so they were rivals. And yet, when the time came when Aisha was accused of inappropriate behavior, when Zainab was asked about her, she couldn't say anything bad about Aisha, you know. And that was a prime time for her as a competitor for the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's affection, for her to, you know, malign her character and you know, get rid of her, so to speak. But she didn't do that, you know. And this is really a testament to how as women we should be in polygamy. You know, even though they, you may be a competitor with a person, or you may think that you're being a competitor with a person for the emotions of one man, you know, you should never be blinded so much so that you lose fear of Allah, you know. And I have experienced myself in my own relationship that, you know, My co-wife is, you know, she's like my sister to me. But she can only be my sister to me if I give her her rights and her respect, you know. And so it's very important for all of us to remember that if we ever find ourselves in a situation where, you know, our husband is taking another wife, then we have to be always on point with remembering that we have to stand in front of our Lord, and we are going to be accountable only for our actions, not for the actions of others, only for our own actions. And therefore, in everything that we do, we have to fear Allah. And if everybody fears Allah, then polygamy can always work.
I mean, and we're down to the last minute, so inshallah, that is the show. Again, I want to thank Sister Khalda, Sister Sakina, Sister Zainab for coming on and giving us enlightenment and, you know, giving us some good nasiha. And I pray to Allah that this show was very beneficial for everyone. If you have any questions or comments, hit my Facebook page up. I don't know, Sister Sakina, Sister Khalda, guys have anywhere where you can be reached so that people can ask you questions or anything? Are you guys on Facebook?
Or Zainab.
I have a Facebook. Zainab Singho, Abdul Qaddus.
Hala Dabala.
Sakina, do you have a Facebook?
Yes, Sakina Abdul Shakur.
Okay. All right.
Sakina,
inshallah.
Like,
huh?
What was that?
Inshallah, you guys can, you know, ask them some questions. If you have any questions, or you could direct them towards me, and I'll direct you to them, or somehow we can work it out. But I appreciate everyone for listening. I pray to Allah that if we are successful with this, that inshallah we pass our test. Ameen. And everybody have a good night. Shukran for listening again. I love you all for the sake of Allah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, sir.